present Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler in The Men from the Ministry, a weekly tribute to the men of our government service, men who are often compared to monks. They don't say much, they find it hard to keep their hair on, and some of them have odd habits. We go, as usual, to the General Assistance Department, where those two brilliant executives, Lamb and Lennox Brown, are in the throes of creation.
Now, come along, too. We must finish designing this form by 11s. The Ministry want to foist it onto the public next week.
Aren't 38 questions enough, one?
Certainly not. No, no. So far, all we've asked for is the applicant's name, address, all personal particulars, medical history, hobbies, religion, and size of socks and underwear.
After all, it is only an application for a dog license.
Never mind, too. 38 questions is letting them off far too lightly. One has standards to keep up, you know.
I thought of a good one. Were you born at a very early age? If so, state reason.
Yeah. Yes, put that in. Yeah. I like that, yes. Like, now, wait a minute. Here's another one.
Yes.
Delete whichever is untrue. I have, stroke, have not, stopped defrauding the national assistance. See? Yeah, oh, they'll spend all day on that one.
How about, is your house on the other side of the street?
Good, yes, good. Shaping up very nicely, yes. And put at the bottom, do not write on more than two sides of the paper. Now, all was foxes.
Yes. Oh, and then there's always that good old standby, give sex and explain why.
Yes, I think that does it, too. Yes. Oh. Yes, it's a well-made little form, that.
Yes. In buff or puce, do you think?
Make it yellow. More trying on the eyes. Good. Well, now, isn't it time for Mildred to bring in the tea?
Not Mildred, one. You remember, she's having a few days off with her chest.
Oh, yes. Well, did you get a substitute?
They've given us Celia Nobbs. Oh. Ah, here she is now. Morning, Celia.
Morning. Your tea, Mr. Lennox Brown?
Thank you.
And here's your beef o'lax, Mr. Lamb.
Thank you. Oh, it's in an ordinary mug.
Oh, is that wrong?
Well, if you could remember to use my noddy beaker. It gives me a longer drink, you see, because of the little bit where his nose sticks out.
Right you are, sir. By the way, Mr. Lennox Brown, I've had the printers on the phone about your next production for the Civil Service Players. They want details for the poster.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm afraid the details won't be available for a few days.
But surely it's all fixed, one. You're doing my play.
Oh, well, you haven't settled on the title yet, have you?
Yes, I have. Well, you remember I couldn't decide between The Torment and the Agony or The Wind Gives Me Freedom.
I remember.
So I've decided to combine the two. I've called it The Wind Gives Me Agony.
Is that for the poster, then?
Yes, and add a new verse drama by Richard Lamb, featuring Mr. Perkins of Pensions in his biggest dramatic role since Hello, Dolly.
Oh, haven't you heard, Mr. Lamb? Hmm? Mr. Perkins broke his leg yesterday.
Oh. Well, put featuring Mr. Perkins and big supporting cast.
Now, look, just a minute. I'm the producer, too. I am the producer.
Yes.
And if you must know, I've decided not to do your play.
What? Not do my play? Why?
Perhaps you'd better leave us, Miss Nobbs. Go and answer the telephone in the outer office.
But it isn't ringing, sir.
No sense in waiting till the last minute. Off you go, go on.
Oh, we're right here, then.
Well, what's all this about? You promised you'd do my play.
That was before I read it to. Before I found it opened in Egypt among the pyramids, and involved in an avalanche and a plague of locusts, and then moved on to modern times for a sea battle and an aerial dogfight. And that was only the first scene.
But action's what the public want, man.
And which of the civil service players do you suppose is going to play the part of Cleopatra and do the dance of the Seven Veils?
It's all fixed. I've given the part to Mrs. Granite, the canteen supervisor.
Mrs. Granite?
Yes.
Mrs. Granite?
Yes, I.
She looks embarrassing enough behind the counter, let alone on the stage. Good gracious, too. She's all wobble. Only yesterday she dropped her turnips in the tapioca.
You're just being difficult, man.
And the dialogue. Oh, all this terrible verse. Terrible verse. Terrible. Just look at King Neptune's big speech. Go down to caverns deep. Deep down to where the fishes sleep. Where wrecks abound and the waters rot 'em. Go down, deep down, and sit on the bottom.
I thought King Neptune would be a good part for old Rudge at the Board of Trade.
But Roger would have to play King Neptune with glasses. He can't see anything without them.
Yeah, but surely he...
He can't. Last year, as Mary Queen of Scots, he walked into the orchestra pit 3 times. Can't you? It wouldn't matter who the actors were. No one can make a success of the blessed thing.
Well, if you don't like my play, why don't you come right out and say so?
All right, I will. I will. Yes, I think your play is a load of rubbish, and I'm not prepared to put it on.
Look, man, when I want your opinion, I'll ask for it, John.
Go on, what happened then, Mr. Lamb?
I said he was a hopeless producer anyway.
How did that huge blood stain get on the wall?
Red ink, actually. Mr. Lennox Brown threw his inkwell at me. Can you imagine anything more childish? Fortunately, I just stooped to pick up the waste paper basket and shove it on his head.
And then he stormed out?
That's right. And all yesterday, he wouldn't speak to me. And he wouldn't let me borrow his pencil sharpener or sit beside him in the canteen.
And this morning, it looks as if he's not coming in at all.
I know. Just when the permanent undersecretary's back from his holiday, he's sure to come in with a job for us.
What, Sir Gregory Pitkin? Come in here. Oh, I've been told he's very fierce. Hasn't got the manners of a pig.
Well, let me put it like this, Celia. He seems pretty tough when you first meet him, but beneath that hard exterior, there beats a heart of stone.
Ah, there you are, Lamb.
Oh, yes, Sir Gregory. Funny, we were just talking about you.
Oh, yes? What are you saying?
Yes, some idiot had told Miss Nobbs you hadn't got the manners of a pig, and I told her you had.
What?
I told her you had been misunderstood.
Ah, that's enough of that drivel, Lamb. Where's Lennox Brown?
He's not here, Sir Gregory.
I can see that. Where is he?
Well, he popped in earlier and had to pop out again.
Yeah, that's it, yes. He's like that, Sir Gregory. Pop, pop, pop all over the place. Top of the pops, you might say. Or perhaps you might not.
Listen, Lamb. I've got a very important job for this office. Military matter. Yes. Working directly for CHAOS.
CHAOS?
Combined Headquarters Allied Overseas Services. CHAOS. Have you dealt with them before?
Oh, yes, Sir Gregory. If you look at our past work, you'll find chaos everywhere.
Yes. I can't imagine. Now, listen. There's a big NATO autumn exercise coming up. Chaos wants you to cost certain parts of it.
I see, Sir Gregory.
And to do that, you need the plans of the whole thing. Now, here they are in this red folder. Red for top secret, of course.
Oh, top secret, eh? Yes. Celia, we'd better put 3 elastic bands around this one.
Right you are, sir.
I need hardly tell you that if this folder fell into the wrong hands, I'd be posted to the Outer Hebrides.
Really, Sir Gregory?
And you would be shot.
We'll certainly take great care of it, Sir Gregory.
Right. Oh, by the way, Lamb.
Yes?
Is it true you've been writing some sort of play for the civil service players?
Oh, yes, Sir Gregory. In my own time, of course. With my own pencil. I did borrow a ministry rubber, but I brought it back.
Well done, Lamb. Didn't know you had it in you.
Thank you, Sir Gregory.
Well, I hope there's a part for me in it. I put that badly. I assume there's a part for me in it.
I should think there could be.
The singing part, of course. I have rather a fine voice, you know. A light bass veering towards a tenor. Yes, it's been said my rendering of the floral dance has to be heard to be believed.
I can believe it, Sir Gregory. My play isn't really a musical, you see.
Then you'd better put some music in, hadn't you? It's something to suit my voice. It's a natural talent, you know. I just open my mouth.
I'll look into it, Sir Gregory. Of course, it's a very modern play, very with it. Aluminium costume.
All the better.
You wouldn't mind taking part in the nude scene?
What? Good heavens, what sort of play is this?
It's a sort of pageant of human agony down the ages, Sir Gregory.
Yeah, I see, yes. Well, put me down for a singing part in one of the fully dressed scenes. And get on with that costing job for the autumn exercise. And mind you, keep those papers safe.
Yes. Dear, he could ruin the whole thing.
Bad as that, is he?
Didn't you hear about him in the Operatic Society's show? Storming and shouting, stamping up and down the stage, waving his arms about. And he was even worse when the curtain went up.
Oh.
Oh, well, I suppose I'd better write him in.
Well, what's the point if Mr. Lennox Brown won't put the play on?
He must put it on, Celia. I'll explain to him how important it is.
Well, how can you do that when you're not talking to each other?
Morning, Celia.
Morning, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Good morning, Mum. Good morning.
Celia.
Yes, sir?
Is Mr. Lamb addressing me?
Oh, I'll ask him, sir. Excuse me, Mr. Lamb, but was it Mr. Lennox Brown you was addressing yourself at?
If Mr. Lennox Brown's still being stupid about my play, the answer's no.
Mr. Lennox Brown, if you're still being stupid about Mr. Lamb's play, the answer's no, sir.
Please tell Mr. Lamb if he still wants me to produce that awful play of his, I've nothing further to say.
Celia, I'll put this secret NATO folder in the filing cabinet. Please tell Mr. Lennox Brown Sir Gregory wants us to do some work on it.
You caught Mr. Lennox Brown's tie in the drawer, Mr. Lamb.
I'm joking. Celia, please tell Mr. Lamb to fetch a doctor. Let's open the drawer again.
There. Tell Mr. Lennox Brown he's free now.
Tell Mr. Lamb he did that deliberately.
Tell Mr. Lennox Brown I did not.
Tell Mr. Lamb rubbish.
Tell Mr. Lennox Brown double rubbish to him with knobs on.
Tell Mr. Lamb I definitely saw him close that drawer deliberately.
Tell Mr. Lennox Brown to tell Miss Knobs to tell him what she saw.
Pardon?
Tell Miss Knobs, I said, to tell Mr. Lennox Brown to ask Miss Knobs to tell him what she saw Mr. Lamb do.
Oh, I do wish you two would give over. I hate these upsets. Oh, can't you make it up?
Very well, Celia. Should we shake hands, one?
I didn't start it.
Oh, yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
You said my play wasn't very good.
I did not. I said it was a load of rubbish.
Oh, don't start again. Look, why don't you get someone else's opinion of Mr. Lamb's play? What they call settling by aggravation.
Arbitration, Celia. Still, it's an idea.
See, you could both accept their verdict if it was someone who really knew about drama. Someone in the profession like Sir Lawrence Oliver or Sandy Shaw.
They're probably busy, Celia.
Then how about Mrs. Parmenter?
Mrs. Parmenter? She does publicity for the Civil Service Players. She's not in the theatre.
Well, she almost is. She used to work part-time in the box office at the Bijou Cinema Slough. Anyway, she's outside the Civil Service.
I'd accept her opinion. Which have got my...
It's bold, it's exciting, it's love.
You mean...
Speculative...
Collect it anyway, yes. We'll come at once.
Did you say it wouldn't matter?
Cope with life's hurly-burly. What have we lost then? Umbrella jam with...
Oh, yes, of course, a pen, yes.
At least
yes.
It'll be quicker than looking through all those umbrellas. You won't have more than one lot of secret government papers.
Says who? We've got a whole section for secret government papers. Divided according to the bus routes they were left on.
Good.
Now, let's see what we've got now, then. Forthcoming April budget. Was that it? top secret nuclear research. There are four of those.
No.
Well, what sort of fire was it you lost?
NATO autumn exercise. Our friend left it on the 13 buses.
It was a red one with three elastic bands.
Oh, new idea. Still, I suppose it's cheaper than running on petrol, eh?
I mean the pile, not the bus.
Oh, red. Yeah, oh, yes. Yes, it's coming back to me.
I wish it were coming back to us.
I remember Stan had it.
Stan?
Yes, fastest conductor on the 13 route. They call him Speedy Stan, the lightning conductor. Yes. He had a red fire yesterday morning.
Thank heavens, where is he?
Majorca.
Majorca?
Yes, he went on holiday last night.
Oh, no, I can't.
Now, quiet, quiet. We're on. Wait a minute. It's all right. Presumably he brought it in here before he went.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yes, well, then we're safe. Oh, good. Now, if you'll just hand it over, my good man, we'll...
Well, I can't do that, can I? We sent it for salvage.
Salvage?
Well, it looked like a load of old rubbish, so we sent it for pulping with the rest of the waste paper.
Waste paper? Pulping?
Yes. Oh, yes. We've got a very nice little pulping place down on the Essex Marshes.
Quick, too. We must go there immediately. Mr. Sykes, we were told we'd find you here.
Oh, you'll be the man from the ministry. Oh, yeah, there's been some lost papers this summer.
It's very urgent, Mr. Sykes. Please help us.
Ah, pleasure, gents. I've been pulping manager here for 30 years, and I can honestly say as you white tall fellas have sent us more waste paper than anybody else.
Yes, well, I'll tell you the problem.
Mondays to Thursdays we do the white tall rubbish, and today we do London Transport.
Oh, glory, we may be too late.
No, there's still plenty to come. Here, Luke, down there on the conveyor belt. Bus tickets, newspapers, cigarette buckets. Do you see? It all moves steadily into the pooping machine.
that insatiable appetite to destroy, that great mouth always open. We call it Harold.
Yes, that's very interesting, Mr. Sykes, but I mean, have you seen a red file?
Oh, come to think of it, I have.
You have?
Has it been destroyed yet?
No, it's not been destroyed yet.
Oh, well,
it's just going to be destroyed now. You see, down there, about 3 yards from the mouth of the machine.
What? Oh, two, look, there it is. Now, you'll have to slide down that railing.
Yeah, but I...
Yes, if you lean over the belt, you might just snatch it.
Yeah, but one, why me?
Well, it's your turn. I bought the tea. Go on. Don't argue.
All right, no need to push.
Oh, what a brave chap. He'll never do it, though, will he?
He might just...
As long as he doesn't slip.
Lean out, tool. That's right. Catch it with your umbrella as it passes.
Help! Oh, I think I'm slipping.
Handle this block of pulp with great care, see. Mr. Sykes gave it me as a souvenir.
You were telling me how Mr. Lamb leant out over the conveyor belt.
Yes, well, there he was, you see, clinging to the rail with one hand and fishing for the file with the other.
Oh.
No one thought he could get it, but he did.
He did? Then why didn't you bring it back?
Because Mr. Lamb's bowler hat fell off.
What? Onto the conveyor belt? Oh, did it go in the pulping machine?
No, he dropped the file and saved the bowler hat.
Sorry, ma'am, but you see, Aunt Maud gave me this bowler. She'd believe it if I lost it.
And how do you think Sir Gregory's going to feel about losing the NATO file?
But you haven't lost the NATO file. The red file the busman sent for pulping wasn't the one, was it?
What do you mean it wasn't the one?
Well, didn't I tell you? Mrs. Parmenter rang while you were out. She's got back the red folder you sent her. Someone found it on the bus.
She's got it back? She's got it back.
Oh, how marvelous. Just a minute. That means I risked my life for nothing.
Don't drivel, too. We must ring her at once. Arrange to fetch the folder straight away.
Don't forget she doesn't know their NATO plans, one. She still thinks it's my plane.
I know that, too. I shan't mention NATO plans. Leave this to me.
All right.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Mrs. NATO. Lennox Plans here.
I beg your pardon?
It's Lennox Brown here, Mrs. Parmenter. Look, I hear that you happen to have got that, play back.
Yes, I put it in an old envelope with my address on it. Some good soul posted it back.
Yes. Well, now, yes. Well, now, we'll come over and fetch it at once.
No need. I felt I'd given you enough trouble, so I put them in the post for you.
The post? Oh, dear. Them, did you say?
Well, when I got the script back this morning, I recalled you seemed a little worried that I'd lost it. I thought perhaps you hadn't many copies. So I took it along to Mr. Sodbury and got him to duplicate 50.
50 copies? Of the NATO secret, of Lamb's plans at the old glory.
I knew you'd be pleased, and I've got another nice surprise for you. Top Secret is such a brilliant play, I've sent copies to the press.
Oh.
After all, if you have a masterpiece, you must let everyone know. You must share it with the world.
The world? You haven't sent it to the foreign press?
No, I didn't think of that.
Oh,
but I sent a copy to that Russian theater company who was so brilliant at the Aldrich. And, of course, to the Chinese company who are coming for the World Theater season. I can hear you're rather touched. Oh, no need for thanks, Mr. Lennox Brown. Art unites us all, does it not? Do let me know when you hear from Moscow and Peking. Must dash, I've got a meeting. Bye.
Well, I thought I heard her say she didn't. She couldn't. She hasn't.
She has. She sent copies of our secret NATO plans to the papers. And to Russia. And to China.
That's it then, isn't it? Still, I suppose I don't mind emigrating. Whitehall's never done much for me.
Think I'll choose Australia. Say the kangaroos are very friendly.
I wonder if we can get clear of Southampton before Sir Gregory hears.
By the way, Sir Gregory rang earlier. Thank you for getting the autumn exercise plans back to NATO headquarters.
Oh, well, that's something anyway. What? The exercise plans went to Mrs. Parmenter instead of your play.
So what went back to NATO headquarters?
Here is the news read by John Curl. There were amazing scenes today when the NATO autumn exercise began throughout Western Europe. Maneuvers started on Salisbury Plain, where the Prime Minister and other observers saw three army battalions fighting an imaginary plague of locusts. Soldiers were dressed in aluminium knickers, and some appeared to be wearing cardboard boxes on their heads. They were led by Field Marshal Lord Graham, who stood up in his jeep singing the floral dance. The Prime Minister said what he'd seen and heard would undoubtedly ward off any enemy. The naval side was launched by the code message, go down to caverns deep, whereupon all NATO ships began to submerge. At the last moment, it was realized that not all of them were submarines, and a nasty accident was narrowly averted. The British end of the exercise finished in spectacular fashion when 500 members of the women's services linked arms and danced across Aldershot Parade Ground in the nude. The Defense Secretary said he hoped this would become a regular feature of the exercise. He saw 1,000 reasons why it should. Another newsflash from the United Nations. It's reported that Britain has supplied Russia and China with full details of her next army exercise. The Security Council praised this bold step towards international peace, and delegates stood and cheered those responsible. Here's the rest of the news. There was an incident at Southampton Docks this afternoon when a crate of tomatoes split open after being dropped on the quayside. Two men in bowler hats were discovered, crouching inside, apparently trying to smuggle themselves aboard a ship.
I said we should have disguised ourselves as nuns. Then we could have just walked up the gangplank.
And I said our best chance was to put on false moustaches and sign on as foreign seamen. I suppose if we were silly to compromise, really, never worked.
Well, it's too late now. Or could we get out through that window?
No, you'd never bend the bars to. These harbour police know their job, you know.
I don't see why they're keeping us in a cell. We didn't break the law.
Well, they obviously don't believe we're who we say we are. I gather they're getting someone down from the ministry to identify us. Then it'll be back to London to face the music.
I wish we'd heard some news bulletins. The whole story must be out by now.
Well, there's no point in depressing ourselves further.
The person the ministry sent, you don't think it could be... It couldn't be, could it?
No. He'll be too busy in London preparing a firing squad. No, they'd never send him.
Ah, there you are, both of you.
This is my day, is it?
He's all right, officer. These are the two. They are believing with me. Now then, you two, what's this all about? Some scheme to check port security?
It's Mrs. Parminter's fault, Sir Gregory. I tried to rescue her bus from Harold, but Speedy San had gone to Majorca, and she duplicated it, and we thought we'd do better in Australia, where the kangaroos are so friendly.
I've nothing to add to that.
I can't say that I quite understand. Still, you can tell me more on the way back to London. We must hurry. There's quite the reception committee waiting.
I can imagine, sir.
Yes. You're the heroes of the hour.
Yes, the heroes of it.
Heroes? Huh?
Yes, sending those plans to foreign governments was a stroke of genius. A breakthrough in world relations.
But I can't...
Yes, and as for the new ideas you added to the exercise, new dancing and so on. Tremendous. The army's flooded with new volunteers. Yes, I've been racking my brains for some way to repay you.
Very good of you, Sir Gregory.
I finally hit on your play, Lam. And I've got some very good news for you. Not only will I play one leading role, but I persuaded my wife to play the other.
Sir Gregory, honestly.
Quiet, too. And smile. We thought they'd all play merry hell.